And again, we thank you for your giving today in all aspects of that. When Major Susan and I decided that it would be good for us to look at the Acts of the Apostles, and we set out our plans, the coincidence of the story of Ananias and Sapphira on self-denial altar service Sunday, the irony thereof, did not escape us. But we aren't ones for avoiding awkward situations and subjects, and therefore, here we go. But I don't want you to think what you thought when you began to think what you're thinking. Okay? How many of you heard this story preached before? Yeah. It's quite awkward, isn't it? Did you feel a little uncomfortable? Not because Major Margaret was reading it. She read it perfectly, thank you so much. But because of the subject matter. Here are people dropping dead in a meeting, because it would appear on first reading that they were not giving enough. That is far from the truth. We need to set this in context, which is why I wanted to read from the end of chapter 4 and also put that in context with our earlier teaching on the fact that the disciples in those early formative years of the church, and days of the church life for that matter, sought to hold all things in common. They realised in a society which required people to live almost from hand to mouth, that there will be times when there will be people with no income. And what has started off with the 12 disciples and then the 120 who were in the upper room on that first day of Pentecost, then had suddenly become into their thousands of people who looked to the kingdom of God in its embryonic form there, in human terms, for them to be a part of that. To be a part of it, to join this group, this disparate group, and ever much more so. And yet there were those, it was quite obvious, and we will see that again and again as we look through this account that Luke wrote, which we now know as the Acts of the Apostles, that there were times when things were really tough. There were times when people had not enough to go around. And I'm not thinking of those who stockpile at this stage. You may have seen it. One or two people may have been stockpiling. Please be careful. Please be careful. As members of a caring Christian community, please be careful that we don't just stockpile what we don't want, because there may be others who are in greater need than we are, who will have to go without because others see fit to grasp as much as they can. You see, when you get a society forming as the early church, that the followers of the way, as it was known, you would get those who would naturally rise to the forefront. We had the apostles, yes, but we would have others who would want, in human terms, to vie for popularity, fame, and prestige. It happens in all walks of life. And sadly, not wanting to cover up some of the darker aspects of that group, Luke recounts the story of Ananias and Sapphira. And every commentator I have been able to read in these past few days seems to agree on this one point, that they wanted to make themselves look good. They wanted to make themselves look good and conspired, and that's the key word, conspired, to to falsify. I think there's a little bit of Adam and Eve and Lord and Lady Macbeth going on here. There's a sense in which this husband and wife conspiracy thing of which we read at the beginning of chapter 5 was taking place. But as Peter said so rightly to both of these folk, or particularly to Ananias in the early stages of this discussion, he said, verse 4, didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? It was theirs. So it wasn't that they didn't give enough. It was that they pretended that they'd given it all. Look at us, they said. We're going to bring the money and lay it at the disciples' feet, the apostles' feet. Aren't we good? And it was that was their downfall. Satan looks to see how he can get a foothold. A foothold into community that divides and splits and allows people to think that it doesn't really matter. These two sad unfortunates conspiring to attempt to make themselves look better than they actually were was their downfall. The sin was pretense and deception, saying one thing to God and acting in another way. You know, this bothers me. Does it bother you? It bothers me because in our own strength, it's very easy to actually try and bluff our way through. But God knows. The psalmist said, "You know my inmost thoughts. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me." Because God doesn't want that any should perish. Let me say that right away. He doesn't want that through guilt we should fall dead. Because there is another way. And that's why I also read from chapter 4. "For the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." Continued to say that actually there is hope. That God has a way for us all that we may know salvation. And my challenge to you this morning is, do you know salvation? Do you know the salvation which comes from God in your own heart? Now, if we were in Burkina Faso, at Ouagadougou, there would be a... Thank you. Do you know the salvation that comes from God? Well, welcome to the UK. I think when it said in our Salvation Army doctrines, "He that believeth hath the witness in himself." Get it out there, people. Get it out there. Don't keep the witness in here. Get it out there. Tell the world that Jesus has saved you, that you're forgiven, and that same forgiveness is there for all people. What seems to be a very challenging passage of Scripture, a very sad indictment on those who had their motives completely wrong, is overcome, because for every Ananias and Sapphira, there are hundreds and hundreds of Barnabases. For every one who doesn't quite get it right in this way, there are loads of sons and daughters of encouragement. Be one of those. You know, those of you who are familiar with a thing called the internet and social media may have remembered a few years ago there was a series of things going on which said something like this: Barnabas encouraged other people. Barnabas gave what he could to support other people in their need. Barnabas loved Jesus. Be like Barnabas. Would you? Would you be like Barnabas? Encouraging, helping, supporting, and not grieving God in any way, manner, shape, or form. Let that be our message for today.